You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The idea of recession has jumped from the business pages to the front pages of most major publications just in the last few days. Here to discuss it and other matters is the chief economist and global strategist at Euro-Pacific Capital in the United States of America, in Connecticut to be precise, and that's Peter Schiff. Suddenly everyone's talking about a recession and inverted yield curves again, Peter. You've been calling this for quite a while, I think.
Yes, and you know, most people don't understand why we're going into recession or how bad it's going to be. Because it's going to be a lot worse than the last recession, which was about 10 years ago, and we call that one the Great Recession. But this one will be greater. And the reason for that is because everything the Federal Reserve has done since that recession has actually made all the problems that caused it worse. And so what they actually did was they interrupted the free market's attempt to fix all the mistakes that were made during the Greenspan era, when interest rates were kept artificially low. We inflated first the stock market bubble and then a housing bubble. And during the process, we had a lot of misallocations of resources, malinvestments. We spent too much. We borrowed too much. Asset prices were overvalued. And the economy got distorted, and we were running large trade deficits and large budget deficits. And, you know, the market tried to fix that, but the fix would have been painful in the short run. And so we opted to kick the can down the road. Under Bernanke, we slashed interest rates down to zero. We left them there for, I don't know, 7 years, whatever it was. And then we gradually raised them, and we stopped raising when we got above 2% because everything started collapsing. But what's really happening now is we're going to finish the recession that we started in 08. And it's going to be a lot worse because in the intervening years, all the problems have actually gotten much, much bigger. And so that's what we're starting. And the mistake that the Fed made was not raising rates. It was cutting them in the first place. Once it went down that road, there was no turning back. And so what we're about to experience is not related to what the Fed is doing now, but what the Fed did back then.
You're almost using the same sort of analogy that I use when it comes to markets. In other words, February 2018, we had the first sort of hint that markets were in a bit of trouble. I think it was led by Facebook, but it doesn't matter. There was some sort of catalyst, and it was like a volcano. It started rumbling a little bit, and then we didn't have the big eruption. Then we had another eruption or a little rumbling in October of that year, and then December of that year as well, 2018, that is. And now we're having one or two rumblings in 2019. So what you're saying is that the recession actually started in 2008. There was a recovery, and now the real recession is going to start, the real main event.
Exactly. What we had initially was kind of like the overture. Now we're going to have the opera. And, you know, the fat lady isn't going to sing for a while. And, you know, the problem is that this time we're going to see tremendous inflation, not in financial assets, which was the case for the last decade, where the Fed's monetary policy showed up in rising stock prices and bond prices and real estate prices, and generally made people feel better because, you know, they felt richer. Certainly, if you owned those assets. If you didn't own those assets, then you didn't get any of the gain, just the pain. But this time around, it's all going to be consumer prices that are going to be rising. You know, not asset prices. So we're going to have inflation and recession simultaneously. You know, in the 1970s, we called it stagflation. And I don't know if stagflation is the right word for what we're going to have this time, because we're not going to stagnate. I mean, we're not going to be lucky enough to have a stagnant economy. We're actually going to have a pretty big recession. But during that recession, prices are going up. They're going to go up a lot for the consumer. They're not going to go up for investors as far as the value of their assets, but the cost of consuming goods and services, that's going to go up, particularly goods.
Why are they going to go up? Is it because of trade wars? Is it because of the level of the U.S. dollar? Is it because of full employment? What are the circumstances?
No, it's not because of employment. It's going to be because of the money that we've created. I mean, we've created all this money, and initially the money went into financial assets. But it only did that because people believed that the Fed's monetary policy was temporary, that there was an exit strategy from quantitative easing, that there was a way to restore a normalcy to interest rates, right? That it was all temporary because of the emergency. But when the world realizes that it's permanent, that interest rates can never return to normal because we have so much debt, and the Fed's balance sheet is never going to shrink, it's going to grow in perpetuity, that's a different story. People are going to realize that the dollar, is basically a bottomless pit, that inflation is going to ravage the purchasing power of the dollar, and that no matter how high the official CPI gets, the Fed is never going to fight the inflation. I mean, initially, the Fed was targeting no inflation. Then we had a 2% ceiling where the Fed said, we just need to keep inflation below 2%. The 2% ceiling became a target. We need inflation of 2%. So if it's not 2%, we need to create more. Now the ceiling has, the target has become a floor. Now the Federal Reserve is saying we must have inflation above 2%. Except they're calling it symmetrical inflation. But what they mean is above 2%. But the reason they keep moving the bar is because they have no ability to do anything about inflation. So, if you're being chased out of town, if you run to the head of the crowd and you can pretend you're leading the parade, and that's what the Fed is doing. Since the Fed has no ability to restrain inflation, they just want to pretend that everything is okay as inflation gets worse and worse. But once we get up to 3%, 4%, 5%, wherever it is, and the Fed does nothing about it, the markets are going to figure this out. And then there's going to be a run on the dollar. I mean, people are going to be selling anything dollar-denominated, and it's just going to be all supply and no demand for U.S. dollars, especially if this recession begins before the next election, which it probably will, and then we have a socialist president in 2020 with a sympathetic Congress. We're going to have annual budget deficits of probably somewhere between $3 and $5 trillion a year. Now, if you just think about what that means, because the government can only collect maybe about $2 to $3 trillion in taxes a year. So we're going to be borrowing tremendous amounts of money. I mean, we're running $1.5 trillion deficits now under Trump, right? We're running bigger deficits during a growing economy under Trump than we did in the Great Recession under Obama. But that will go off the charts if we get a Democrat elected in the next downturn. So think about the amount of money that the Federal Reserve is going to have to print to finance that. And it's not just financing $3, $4 trillion deficits a year, but we have a $22 trillion national debt that'll probably be $25 trillion by the time the next president comes into office in 2021. But what's going to happen when all those Treasury bonds start maturing and the owners don't want to roll them over? They just want their money back so they can get out of dollars and into something else. All of a sudden, we have a huge run on the Treasury market. And so not only does the Federal Reserve have to monetize, $3, $4 trillion, $5 trillion annual deficits, it's got to monetize all the bonds that nobody wants to own because inflation is destroying their value. But then it's not just going to be treasuries that the Fed is going to be buying, but municipal bonds, because municipalities won't be able to afford the higher interest rates that would result from an increase in inflation. They're probably going to start buying up corporate bonds because corporations would fail, pensions would fail. So the Federal Reserve is just going to be printing money like crazy. And, we run the risk of completely destroying the value of the dollar.
Which has implications for all sorts of other financial markets as well, equity markets, the bond market, which is quite extraordinary at the moment. And as you say, the buying power of the US consumer, and indeed, I suppose, a knock-on effect of the world consumer. But the White House seems to have distanced itself from the possibility of recession. It seems to ignore the inverted yield curve. Maybe it's right in the short term. I don't know.
It's ignoring a lot more.
Yeah.
It's ignoring a lot more than the inverted yield curve. It's ignoring massive evidence that we're headed to recession. But, I don't blame, I guess, the White House politically, because Trump has based his entire reelection on how great the economy is and the fact that he's taking credit for that. So he has to pretend the economy is good no matter how bad it is. And in fact, what they're afraid of and what the Fed, of course, is afraid of is a self-fulfilling prophecy where they act concerned, where they acknowledge that the economy is in trouble. And based on those acknowledgments, they actually influence behavior, that companies don't make investments, that consumers don't make purchases because they're trying to prepare for a recession. And what the president might be afraid of is that that preparation will actually bring about the recession maybe sooner rather than later.
Where does this all leave us? It leaves us with gold, of course. I mean, gold has gone from round about the time of our last chat. Actually, our second to last chat was, it was around about 1370, 1375. It's been close to 1550. It's back at 1505 to 1510 at the moment. But it's showing signs of life, and it's showing no signs of dying down. Gone a little bit quiet because of the Northern Hemisphere summer, but goodness me, it's looking quite potent.
Yep, you know, the smart money is going into gold right now. The dumb money is going into bonds, you know, all these negative yielding bonds. This is obviously the blow off of the bond market, bull market, you know, that really began in the early 1980s. And this is the insanity level, you know, where you have negative interest rates, which it, the idea of that is absurd on its face. But this is what we're having at this point. But this is the blow-off. I mean, anybody who's buying these bonds, you know, is just going to lose a fortune. I mean, clearly, interest rates are headed much, much higher, ultimately, once this bubble pops. Gold, on the other hand, is going up. So bonds are going to collapse. The people who think that treasuries or even, you know, bunds or, you know, JGBs or these government bonds, they are not safe havens. They are accidents waiting to happen. Gold is a legitimate safe haven, a legitimate store of value. And what I actually think is going to happen is the remonetization of gold. Because when the dollar collapses, and it's going to collapse, it's going to rock the entire fiat monetary system that's built on the foundation of the dollar. Because the dollar has been the reserve currency, the dollar has been what's backed up all the other fiat currencies. But in reality, since the dollar is backed by nothing, then a currency backed by dollars is also backed by nothing, which is why the system doesn't work. So I think that once the dollar collapses, the world is going to go back to what existed prior to the dollar becoming the reserve, and that is gold. And people are missing the point when they think the dollar is going to reign forever as the reserve currency because they don't know what currency will take its place. They don't see the euro or they don't see the yen or the Chinese yuan. And I agree. Those currencies wouldn't work either, but neither does the dollar. And so you don't need to replace the dollar with another flawed fiat currency. You replace the dollar with gold, real money, which will work. And I think some central banks, China, Russia, other central banks, have been buying gold because I think they can see what, where we're headed, and they want to shore up their reserves now by accumulating as much gold as possible when this transition ultimately happens. And of course, if we remonetize gold, the price will be much higher than it is today. I mean, I don't know where it will be. My guess now is that it will be north of $10,000 an ounce.
That's quite a statement. And let's say that even if it doesn't go to $10,000 an ounce, it keeps on going in this fledgling bull market, which I see as a fledgling bull market, a cyclical fledgling bull market. How do we play the gold market? Just a final question, please, Peter. Do we buy an ETF? Do we buy the gold shares? Do we buy a physical combination?
Physical gold for sure, as opposed to deposits. So, you know, why put your money in a bank that may fail, but even if it doesn't, you're not going to get any interest, and in some cases, negative interest. So instead of saving depreciating currencies where the central bankers have told you that their goal is to destroy the value of the currency over time, that's actually their stated policy goal. They want inflation. They think it's a good thing. Well, it's a lousy thing if you're saving. So if you want to save your wealth, if you want to store it, if you think stocks are expensive and bonds are expensive and you just want to be liquid and have cash, don't keep paper, keep real gold, right? Now, and gold will be a store of wealth, a store of purchasing power, a safe haven. But if you want to really get rich off of gold going up, right, if you don't want to just preserve your wealth, if you really want to find a way to increase your wealth 10x, 50x, 100x, right, which can be done, it's the gold mining stocks. I mean, these things are going to make people a tremendous amount of money if you own the right ones. Obviously, if you own the wrong ones, it could be a problem. But in the short run, even the bad ones are going to go up. Everything's going to go up. But you really want to own the ones that are going to go up and stay up and go up the most. And so, you know, I do separately manage accounts. If, you know, I have my gold accounts are managed by Adrian Day. Adrian Day also manages my gold fund, the Euro-Pacific Gold Fund. We recently ran an award for the number one gold fund year ending 2018. We had the best gold fund for 5 years in a row and the best gold fund over a three-year period. We got 5 stars by Morningstar. We got a great portfolio. Foreigners right now can't buy my gold fund, but we can manage a portfolio of gold stocks for people in the same portfolio. So people that go to EuroPacificFunds.com can contact me, or my firm, EuroPacific Asset Management, out of Puerto Rico, and I'd be happy to manage a portfolio of gold stocks, junior gold mine stocks, exploration companies, that you can really, you know, this is going to be a bigger money winner than the subprime short that we did. Because I think the upside is a lot bigger in the mining sector. So people can do it themselves. They can pick their own gold stocks. But if you want me, you know, me to do it for you, or Adrian Day, contact us, because I think it's a unique opportunity. This asset class is still asleep. It hasn't even begun to wake up yet.
Peter Schiff, thank you so much for your time. Peter Schiff is the chief economist at Euro-Pacific Capital. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.